Well, good morning, everybody. Very good to be with you. Yes, good morning, Alan. Yes, good morning. Very good to be with you all here this morning. So it's a real pleasure. And as I open God's Word today and speak on Ruth chapter 3, let me just pray for us first. Dear Lord, I really pray that you would be with me. I pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, as I rely on you and your strength, your words, what you want to teach. I pray that you'd just speak through me and that your Holy Spirit would soften the hearts and open the eyes of everybody who's here today to just be receptive to what you want to teach us from your word. And we ask that, Lord, in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So, in chapter 3 of Ruth, we come to the character of Boaz. So far, we've learned about Ruth, who is a shining light in a dark situation. We've learned about Naomi, a faithful woman who hangs on to her faith in God even when in severe distress. But now we come to Boaz, who it turns out would be a heroic redeemer. He's a very significant character. See, and this word, as we looked at this morning, this concept of kinsman redeemer is very important. That's what this chapter is all about. Because in chapter 1, we met Ruth, who was a woman in need of redemption. All right, she had lost everything. The men in Naomi and Ruth's lives had passed away, leaving those women, Ruth and her mother-in-law, with no present means of financial income and no hope for future security. So chapter 1 ended with very little hope. But then in chapter 2, we see a glimpse of hope. It seemed that Naomi and Ruth were not going to starve after all. However, having the provisions of food and a safe place to glean were not the same as being redeemed. And chapter 3 begins by moving this remarkable story of redemption even further along. Because this is not just a story about women in need of food, you know, women who need their needs provided for. It's a story of women who had a much greater need, a need for redemption. And this is where Boaz comes in, because Boaz is an unexpected hero. He turns out to be that redeemer that these women needed. So Ruth 3 begins with, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her," that's Ruth, "my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Naomi, it seems, also recognized that the provision of food was not enough for Ruth. That's what she's saying here. She actually understood that Ruth needed rest. Okay, the Hebrew word there literally means place of rest. So Hebrew for today, Jono, the Hebrew word means place of rest and comes from a root word that also means security and tranquility. That's what the word means. So Naomi realized that the provision of food was not going to be enough to provide Ruth with the security and the tranquility that having a husband would provide. She needed more than just food, more than just the very basics of her life in the midst. And so Naomi wanted to provide Ruth with more. Enter Boaz, this great figure of Boaz. In chapter 2, we met Boaz. He's a man of noble character, like Ruth. But what we also discover here is that as he happens, coincidentally enough, he is also one of their kinsman redeemers. Now, this kinsman redeemer comes from the Hebrew word goel, which you may have heard before. It's translated, it means kinsman redeemer, sometimes translated guardian redeemer, but it's a very significant concept in the Bible and particularly in this book. As what we see is that as God orchestrates all that takes place between Ruth and Boaz to bring about his purpose for redeeming Ruth, we also see that God is not just redeeming her at this point, he is actually, in doing this, orchestrating his plan of redemption for the entire world. So this little thing, you know, Ruth just going and, you know, coincidentally gleaning at this random field that turns out to be the field of a man called Boaz, was no coincidence at all. In fact, such a small thing as this turned out to be so significant that this is actually part of God's salvation and redemption plan for the entire world being enacted in this little event that occurs right here. And I think Naomi realizes that at this point too, because Naomi has started to have her faith restored, and she realizes something extraordinary is going on here, all right? Because when she hears about this amazing coincidence, of course it's no coincidence at all, that Ruth happened to stumble upon Boaz's field when she gleans, she realizes that this was not an accident. This is the hand of God at work. It was the sovereign hand of the Lord. And she can't ignore this extraordinary opportunity that God has presented to her. So she acts quickly and decisively. She says to Ruth, "Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be on the winnowing, on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he was lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Now, I've heard different interpretations of this. One might think that it was inappropriately forward of Naomi to suggest this to Ruth. I'm sure that some of you have heard that suggestion. It's possible to think that Naomi was plotting with Ruth to make her a man trap at this point, you know, bit of a man eater. Go out and hunt down Boaz. He's a good husband, all right? He's a catch. He's got money. Doll yourself up, go and lie at his feet, see if you can seduce him. You know, some people think that's what was happening, but it wasn't. You know, that's not what was happening here at all, okay? In fact, it's the opposite. Naomi's suggestion to Ruth was rooted in a peculiar custom in ancient Israel. Now, this is from David Guziak here, who's done some very good work on this. As he describes, what Naomi was doing was rooted in a very peculiar custom. It came from the meaning behind this Hebrew word goel, where we get this word kinsman redeemer. This was the point in Naomi's question about Boaz when she said, "Is he not our relative?" She reminded Ruth that Boaz was their family goel, their family kinsman redeemer. What does this mean? Well, the goel had a specifically defined role in Israel's family life. The kinsman redeemer was responsible for these things. The kinsman redeemer of a family was responsible for buying a fellow Israelite out of slavery. They were responsible for being the avenger of blood, to make sure that the murderer of a family member answered to the crime. They were responsible for buying back family land that had been forfeited. And they were responsible for carrying on the family name by marrying a childless widow. Isn't that interesting? So in this, we see that the goel, the kinsman redeemer, was responsible for safeguarding the persons, the property, and the posterity of that family. That's what the goel was supposed to do. And that's what Naomi is referring to when she says, "Is he not our relative?" That's what she means. Since Boaz was a recognized goel for the family of Elimelech, the deceased husband of Naomi and father-in-law of Ruth, Ruth could appeal to him to safeguard the posterity of Elimelech's family and take her in marriage. That's what Naomi was talking about here. It may seem forward to us, but it was regarded as perfectly proper in that day. So Naomi sees the opportunity. She sees what God is doing, and she says, "This is what you must do right now." Now, of course, there were risks involved. The plan could have backfired. Boaz was a man of standing. He could have got offended. You know, in the same way that many readers have misunderstood the instructions that Naomi says, so might her actions have been misunderstood by Boaz. But I think Naomi knew better at this point. Naomi knew what God was doing. And we see that by the grace of God, these two principal characters, Ruth and Boaz, remained sterling examples of godly conduct. Because of their godliness and their noble character, the plan did not backfire in any way. It is not difficult to see, in fact, the godly manner in which both Ruth and Boaz handled the risky situation into which they had been placed. When Boaz is awakened and he startles, which would be startling, you know, to see a young lady lying at your feet, he wakes up and sees that somebody's at his feet and he says, "Who are you?" Ruth replies, "I am your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." In other words, Ruth was asking Boaz to take responsibility for her by marrying her and redeeming her. That's what she was saying. And do you notice how striking Boaz's response is? Boaz doesn't say, "Away from me, how dare you enter my presence." Rather, he says, "The Lord bless you, my daughter. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier." See, Ruth's proposal made an incredible impression on Boaz, a profound impression. In his earlier dialogue with her, he expressed how her loving kindness towards Naomi, which we looked at last week, had made an incredible impression on him. But the loving kindness that she had demonstrated towards him now in this proposal had made an even bigger impression. He couldn't believe it. Ruth could have sought, as he says, Ruth could have sought out another individual. Okay, she could have sought out another individual to marry. Perhaps someone who was younger, someone who was better looking, perhaps someone who was even more wealthy than Boaz. But she has chosen not to. She has chosen to come to him. So Boaz instructed her not to fear, but rather to rest assured that he would do all that she had asked. It was evident to him that she possessed a noble character like his own. That's what made Ruth so valuable in his eyes. As we looked at, as it said in the video today, Proverbs 31 in verse 10, it says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies." So this is what shines out to Boaz about Ruth, her character. As he says, "For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." Ruth had been described the same way, in fact, that Boaz had in chapter 2, verse 1, as when it says that he was a man of standing. It means that they were both people of exemplary character, of very high integrity and very good character. And that's what it is about Ruth that shines out to him, to Boaz. And of course, that is what it is about Boaz that shines out to Ruth as well. They're not superficial. They both see the hearts. They both see the character of each other. And that's what attracts each other to them. And while it was true, you know, some people might say, well, why would Boaz marry a Moabite? It was true that Ruth was a Moabite by birth, but she had committed her life to following after Yahweh, Israel's God. And there would be no shame for Boaz in redeeming Ruth, for her allegiance to God and her noble character far outweighed her birth heritage. So he had no reluctance at all about marrying this woman. In fact, he is so flattered by a proposal that he says, "And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask." Isn't that beautiful? He says, "I will do exactly what you ask me to do." And yet, as we know, everything's going smoothly, but there is a twist in the tale. There's a bit of a road bump, a bit of a hiccup that pops up all of a sudden. Yes, he is her kinsman redeemer. However, as a man of high integrity, someone who knows the law, it turns out that he knows there is actually one more closely related. Now, he could have, you know, just conveniently tried to sweep that under the carpet, all right, but he says, no, there is someone who has more claim on you as kinsman redeemer than I do, and the law says that that person actually has to be approached first. And as I said, we might think that Boaz and Ruth at this point might say, oh, well, let's just cut some corners. This is just a small technicality. Let's not worry about that too much. But no, again, we see Boaz's good character shine forth. He is deeply moved by her proposal to marry him, but he will only marry her when he has done the right thing first. He says, no, I must do what is right first. I must obey God's law. Making sure that the closer kinsman redeemer is given his chance first, as the law says he has the right to. Now, I think I would be loath to do this. You know, if the woman of my dreams had just asked me to marry her, professed her love for me, someone of so much integrity, but then, you know, some sort of technicality says, no, you might have to actually, this opportunity, it's another man who, you know, gets to actually marry this woman. I think that's a pretty, you know, difficult position to be in. But Boaz is a person of such faithfulness that he says, of course, I must obey God first. And so according to Israelite law, this close relative should be given this first opportunity to redeem Naomi's land and to take Ruth as a wife. So Boaz instructed Ruth to remain near him for the night, to wait here. The reason for that is because it was too dangerous to send her back into the city at night. So she was to stay near to him where it says he could serve as her protection. He says, stay near me, I will protect you for the night, don't leave. And then in the morning, Boaz would make sure that Ruth was redeemed. That's the other thing we miss sometimes too. Part of what he was saying was, don't you worry, whether it was a closer redeemer or he himself, would not have to wait any longer. She would be redeemed by morning. He was going to make sure that she was redeemed because he knew that that's what she meant as well and that's what she needed. So to quote here again, Boaz sent Ruth back just before dawn, just before the light began to break. What had taken place that night between the two of them, as it says in the passage, it could have easily been mistaken by others who would wrongly assume that there had been some inappropriate encounter. It could have been misconstrued to say that, you know, something inappropriate was going on, some hanky-panky was happening there in the threshing floor. But to maintain both of their reputations, Boaz sought to send Ruth back before anyone would have seen her. It says he made sure she went home while it was still dark so no one would recognize them or know that she had been there. And he did not send her back empty-handed too. The author told the reader that he actually measured out and gave to her 6 measures of barley. We find out 3 sentences later that those 6 measures of barley were for Naomi. Why did Boaz send Naomi 6 measures of barley? It's a great question. The best guess I can think is that it was a promise and a pledge to prepare for the wedding. I think that's what he was doing here. It was, in other words, a good faith promise to Naomi, Ruth's legal guardian, that he was going to make sure that Ruth was redeemed right away. He was going to ensure that this happened for her daughter-in-law. Now, we know, of course, ultimately... Now, I don't want to preempt anything Jash is going to say next week, but of course, I think we're all familiar with the story. We all know ultimately what happens. In spite of this temporary hiccup, ultimately, Boaz himself would marry Ruth and he would be that redeemer. Something which I don't think he ever expected, that ultimately, when he saw this woman of redemption, he never anticipated that he would end up being the one who would redeem her. That redeemer would be he himself. And he, of course, would be the one to marry Ruth and redeem not just her, but Naomi as well. Boaz would be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. He would rescue her from poverty and ignominy. And this childless widow will have a child. That's the other thing as well. This childless widow will now have a child. And Elimelech, or rather Naomi's line, will be preserved. It's a very beautiful, heroic thing that Boaz decides to do. Boaz will prove to be a very heroic kinsman redeemer. Redeemer sometimes can be translated as rescuer, all right? That is in part what he did for her. He rescued her and her family. And he does so as a great act of sacrifice and redemption. And so what's the greatest significance of this in some ways? You know, as I said, this idea of kinsman redeemer is very important. What is the greatest significance of this story of Boaz being Ruth's kinsman redeemer? Well, without a redeemer, Ruth had no real rest. She lacked any sense of security and any hope that a redeemer alone could provide her. She needed that to have security and to have hope for the future. That's why we saw Naomi feeling such a strong responsibility to help Ruth find that rest. But this is where it gets interesting, because kinsman redeemer has a much greater significance than just Boaz. Like Ruth, without a redeemer in our lives, we too will be left without real rest. We all need a redeemer. That's what this word actually means. We too are going to lack any sense of eternal security and hope without a redeemer in our lives as well, a kinsman redeemer. We too need someone to buy us back from our slavery and our lack of security about our future and rescue us from the destruction that we face too. We need a family member, a kinsman, who can be that redeemer for us. That's what all of us need. It's what Ruth needed, and Boaz was that redeemer. But that's actually, a kinsman redeemer is the same thing that all of us need. Okay? And thankfully, there is one. We have a kinsman, okay? A fellow human like us, a part of our own family because he's part of the human race, and someone who does, as our family, have the right and ability to redeem and rescue us and even marry us, so to speak, as the Bible says. And our kinsman redeemer is Jesus Christ. He is our Goel. He is our kinsman redeemer. He alone can save us, be our good husband, so to speak, providing and preserving our lives. Furthermore, he can provide us with rest and with security, peace, and tranquility. Listen to these lovely words of Jesus from Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus, the great Redeemer, says that you and I can have real soul-satisfying eternal rest in him. He is willing to redeem us. Just as Boaz was willing to sacrificially redeem Ruth and Naomi, Jesus is willing to sacrificially redeem us as well as our kinsmen. And by paying the price necessary for our redemption and rescuing us, Jesus has given us hope again. And a bit like with Boaz and Naomi, Jesus has even made us part of his family too. We are his brothers and sisters now. We've been adopted into his family, and we receive, in fact, the full inheritance of God. Just as Boaz, all his inheritance became Ruth's, Jesus Christ, of course, owns everything. Everything in this world belongs to him. Everything in the universe belongs to him. And now, as his brothers and sisters, as fellow family, we get to inherit everything that is his as well. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? All right? So, Boaz shows us for the first time in the Bible what a true kinsman redeemer was supposed to do. Okay? He was a heroic redeemer who rescued us at the cost of his own life, or the sacrifice in many ways of what he had to make us part of his family. But of course, Jesus was the one who did that in a much greater way for all of us, sacrificing his own life to redeem us from sin and slavery, from death and hell. And of course, even on a more simple practical level, Boaz, of course, by redeeming Ruth and marrying her and giving her a child, that ultimately, in a practical level, also was bringing that Messiah, Jesus, into the world. Because the marriage made Ruth the great-grandmother of David, King David, of course. That was Ruth's great-grandchild. And David, of course, was the king, the great king of the Old Testament. And of course, David was the ancestor, the forebear, from whom the real Messiah, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, would come. So Ruth, of course, ended up being the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ herself from her own flesh. So the book of Ruth is about redemption. It's a story of redemption. It's a story about a woman who had nothing and desperately needed something to redeem her. And Boaz is that heroic kinsman redeemer, that Goel who did that for them when they were down and had nothing and needed that desperately. But Jesus is the one who ultimately can do that for everyone, for all of us. And so we thank God that we have a kinsman redeemer who has come as one of us and has chosen to redeem every one of us from sin and death and hell. And let me pray now. Dear Lord, we thank you, Father, for your glorious words and your glorious word. We thank you, Father, that you sent your son Jesus as our kinsman redeemer, that we had nothing. We were lost in slavery to sin and death and hell. We had no hope or rest or security for the future. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent someone who was one of us, part of our own human race, our brother and sister by being human, who chose to actually redeem us from that, to sell his own life and give his own life, to sacrifice what he had, to buy us back so that we, our lives, our families, and everything we had could be saved from destruction. And we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen.